Well, good morning, church. We're in Matthew chapter 3 today. Matthew chapter 3. And the title of the message is We All Need to Change. We All Need to Change. Matthew chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, the scripture says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is who he was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and leather and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn away with unquenchable fire.' Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered, 'Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word." All of us need to understand there's a beginning to the Christian life. We're not born Christians. We are born again into the kingdom of God, the scripture says. Jesus said to Nicodemus, a religious and a moral man, and even a leader in Israel, when he came to him and talked to him, he said this, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." So Nicodemus asked, "How can a man be born when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time in his mother womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." And then he said to him, "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." Now Jesus said to Nicodemus, he needed to be born again. He said it to him personally. But then in John 3:7, he uses the plural for you, and he's saying it to all of us, and saying, you, all of you, need to be born again. Every believer is truly a born-again believer. We know we don't use that language anymore, but it's still the truth of the Scripture. Every believer is a born-again believer. Now, you might have had a dramatic conversion experience. You might know the exact moment when you were born again. Or it may have been a slow process whereby you were confronted with the claims of Christ, and you began to have a growing realization of the truths of God. You realized you were a sinner in need of a Savior. You realized Jesus was the only Savior who died and rose again. You realized, and somehow you began trusting Him alone for your salvation. And you began to live now under His authority. You might not know the exact moment that you were born again. But you just know that you believe in Him now. And you no longer are living for yourself, but you are living for Him. That's the beginning of the Christian life. There was a beginning to the public ministry of Jesus. All four Gospels, in some way, begin the ministry of Jesus with the ministry of John the Baptist as the one who prepared the way for Jesus. The ministry of Jesus and the ministry of John overlapped, and they were connected by a simple thing. John and then Jesus called all the people to repent. Well, what were they calling people to do? Repentance is extremely misunderstood by this generation. You see street preachers yelling and screaming at people and telling them to repent, which makes usually no sense to anyone, not even believers who know what the word kind of means. What does it mean to repent? What does it mean? Basically, the word means to change the mind, to afterwards think differently. It means to see life different than you saw it before. It means you no longer view how you live and what is important and what is right and wrong and what is your purpose in life in the same way as you viewed it before. You have changed your mind about those things and now think differently than you did before, and you want to live differently than you did before. It can involve sorrow. Often it does, but it doesn't necessarily have to involve sorrow, because it's a changing of the mind and attitudes about how you should live and who you should live for. It's a desire to change and to no longer think, act, or the way that you acted before. Repentance. The beginning of the Christian life truly is the same as the message of John the Baptist and Jesus as they began their ministries. From God's Word, we learn this timeless truth. The call to follow Jesus demands we change our minds about living for ourselves and embrace living for Jesus and His kingdom. The call to follow Jesus demands we change our minds about living for ourselves and embrace living for Jesus and His kingdom. Now, John the Baptist had a couple focuses, two focuses in his preaching. He called people to repent and be baptized so that they could be prepared for the coming of the kingdom of God. He was calling them to get ready for the coming of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was coming because the King, Jesus, was coming. And whenever Jesus is present, His kingdom is present. Because Jesus was coming and Jesus' public ministry begins His kingdom, the kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is. And John was saying to the people, get ready for God's kingdom is coming. Repent and be baptized. And Jesus' message when He began was the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. First of all, the call is to repent. All who follow Jesus repent. Now, John the Baptist preached a specific message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, we know that John's coming was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies telling of the coming of Elijah, who would prepare the way for the Lord. Matthew quotes Isaiah 43, and he says, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. In Malachi 3:1, it tells of the coming preparer who would pave the way for Jesus to come. It says, see, I will send my messengers who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to His temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. And then Malachi, at the very end of Malachi, which we went through not too long ago, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. You remember Zechariah? The angel told Zechariah almost these exact words. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. So John the Baptist's coming was fulfillment of the prophecy of the one who prepared the way for the Messiah, for the Savior to come. He said, repent and be baptized. Repent. And when Jesus came, He preached the same thing. The scripture says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Jesus said this, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So repentance is the beginning of the Christian life. Repentance. What does it mean to repent? The basic idea of the word is to change the mind, to afterwards think differently. You no longer want to view life as you did before. You change your mind about how you live and who you live for. You change your mind about who gets to run your life. As the poet said, he said, I'm the master of my own fate, the captain of my own soul. But the believer says, no, I'm not. Jesus is the captain of my faith and the master of my soul. You stop being your own master and ruler of your life, and you choose Jesus as Lord and ruler and boss and master of your life. You change your mind about who's going to run your life. You change your mind about sin. You no longer see it as freeing, liberating, natural, fun, profitable, good, your right, the way you were made, etc. You see sin as something you cannot deal with yourselves, you cannot overcome yourself, you cannot forgive yourself for, and you see sin as something you need to be forgiven for. You see sin as someone you need, something you need someone to help you to deal with and to wash away. You see sin from God's perspective as filthy, horrible, detestable, degrading, dehumanizing, destructive, and deadly. You see God's way of life. You don't see God's way of life as restrictive or oppressive or confining or enslaving, but you see God's way of life as liberating, as good, as healthy, as freeing, as fulfilling, as empowering, as life-giving. You repent. You change your mind about these things. You say, God's way is best. Jesus is Lord. I don't want to live the way I lived before. I want to live God's way. Now notice something here. Who needs to repent? Everybody needs to repent. Everyone needs to repent. It's not just the world out there. You know, during the time of Jesus, there were groups that did baptize. I think the Essenes had kind of washings and baptism. And a person who went from being a Gentile to accepting Judaism would be baptized. They would kind of wash themselves. And so that was kind of being practiced in the New Testament time. But John wasn't calling Gentiles to be baptized, not just Gentiles. John was calling Jews. He was calling Jewish people. He said, you need to repent and be baptized. You need to get right with God. Everybody needs to repent. Now, John says to the Sadducees and the Pharisees who came, they came to him, they came to the baptism. We don't know if they just came to observe or they came to actually be baptized. But he says to them, do not presume to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you, God is able to raise up from these stones children for Abraham. John was saying to the people, heredity counts for nothing. Birth counts for nothing. It doesn't matter who your father was or who your mother was. You need to repent. You need to turn from yourself and turn to God. Also, other seeming advantages do not help either. Intellect counts for nothing. Education counts for nothing. Everyone needs to repent. We are not born Christians. We must change our minds about independent living and realize we need to live in dependence on God. We then seek not to live for ourselves, but for God. We repent and we are born from above. We are born again. We see God's way of living. Living for Him, His agenda and His purpose and His will as liberating, good, healthy, freeing, empowering, and life-giving. Notice the repentance is specific. Those who came confessed their sins and they were baptized. It wasn't just I confess, you know, sins, everybody's sins. They were confessing their sins. It was not the sins of others, but their sins. You see, it's easy to see the sins of others. But what are my sins that I need to repent of? Well, the first sin, of course, is unbelief, is living apart from God and His rule, living like you can forgive yourself instead of receiving the forgiveness that comes to you through what Jesus has done for you. That's the first sin, living in unbelief. But then in each of our lives, there are areas where we need to specifically repent and turn to. And even as Christians, there are areas of our lives sometimes that we want to hold on to and be in charge of instead of living the way that God wants us to live. And we need to repent of those things. Everyone is called to repent. But there's something connected to repentance. And that's this. All who repent testify to their repentance through baptism. Now, who's baptized? Not everybody, but only those who repent. Baptism in the New Testament is not for all, but for those who turn from their former view of life and see sin the way God sees it, and they turn and they want to live for God. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were coming to John's baptism. And when John saw them, he wouldn't baptize them. He wouldn't baptize them. Look what he said. When he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers." That's really friendly, isn't it? "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." See, repentance is not just something that you say you do. It's something you do. It's something you do. And John saw these people who are a part of, it must have been a growing national religious movement, and they were coming, and John says, "There's no fruit in your life that shows that you want to repent. I'm not going to baptize you." You see, baptism is not for everyone, but only for those who repent. We practice here at East Madison believers' baptism. So to be baptized here, you testify that you've repented of your sins and living as your own boss, and you are turning from sin and confessing Jesus as Lord and boss, receiving the forgiveness that he offers. You believe that he died and rose again for you. You see, we don't baptize infants because infants can't repent. Baptism in the New Testament was and is for those who repent and believe. However, I want you to notice something here. Everyone who repents is called to be baptized. You know, the Great Commission says to the followers of Jesus, "Go therefore into every nation and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." You see, baptism is something every believer needs to do. Everyone who repents is called to be baptized. Baptism is a way of identifying with Jesus. It's a way of saying to the world, "I will follow Jesus. I belong to him. I want to live for him. I want to do his will. I'm dead to the old life of independent living, and now I've been raised to a new life of living for Jesus." You see, Jesus was baptized, and when he did that, he identified with us. And he said, when John says, I don't know if John recognized him as Messiah, but John kind of knew Jesus. He knew he was a better person than John was. And John said, I need to be baptized by you. And then Jesus says, we're doing this to fulfill our righteousness. He was identifying with us as the one who would be our representative and the one who would die in our place. And when we are baptized, we in ways identify with Jesus, that he took our place, that we have buried our old life and we have a new life with him, and we're raised to new life. And so we identify with him as he identified with us. Baptism is not optional for the believer. It's required. It doesn't save you, but if you believe, you ought to be baptized. You ought to identify with Jesus Christ. You ought to identify with the Church of God. You know, you read stories of how during the height of communism, believers in the Soviet Union would go to Red Square on Christmas Day and be baptized. I bet that was pretty cold. But they did it, and they didn't hide in doing it. They went publicly, and they identified themselves with Jesus Christ. Some of you might need to be baptized. You believe in Jesus. You've turned from your sin and living for yourself, and you need to take the step of following Jesus in believers' baptism. When I was 17 years old, I followed Jesus in believers' baptism. Now, I received Jesus earlier as a 9-year-old boy, 9, 10, somewhere around there. But I wasn't baptized. Most of you know that my mother was a Roman Catholic. And in her understanding, she believed she had all her children baptized as infants. But as I grew in my faith, after I received Jesus, I came to read God's Word. I came to understand that only believers should be baptized. The New Testament does not support the baptism of those who cannot consciously repent and believe in Jesus. Now, I waited a long time because I was very close to my mom. And it was difficult for me because I knew, even though it wasn't a personal thing with me and her, she would view it personally. Sometimes you got to do the right thing, and someone might think it's a personal slight against them, but it's not. But it still feels like that, right? You ever had someone do something that they didn't mean to hurt you, but they kind of did? And so I put it off, but as I grew in my understanding, I came to the conviction that this was something I had to do as a believer in Jesus Christ. And so I was baptized when I was 17 years old. What about you? Have you followed Jesus in believer's baptism? It doesn't save you. We're saved by grace, by the grace of Jesus, by faith in Jesus alone. However, if you've been saved, it's not an option. You need to follow Jesus, identify with Him by being baptized, and say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm part of Jesus, I'm part of His church. Everyone is called to repent, and those who repent are called to follow Jesus in baptism. There's one more truth I want to point out to you today, and that's this. All who repent, maybe I didn't put that up. But all who follow Jesus seek to live lives of continual repentance. Now, once we repent and follow Jesus in baptism, we seek to live a life of continual repentance, continual turning from sin. Now, John talked about Jesus is coming, and he said, Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When we believe in Jesus, the Scripture teaches we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. We receive God's Spirit. But John talks about the fire, and he talks about the Spirit baptizing you with God's Spirit and fire. I think fire is a symbol here of cleansing. So, now, fire often is a symbol of judgment, but I think here specifically, it's more of a symbol of cleansing. It's the fire of cleansing. When you believe, God begins to cleanse your life of everything in you that's not like Jesus. The Holy Spirit purifies us, and He makes us aware of our sin and makes us more like Jesus. Now, when you were first saved, you didn't know how deep sin had corrupted you, did you? I knew a lot of things that had corrupted me, but I didn't realize like how bad some of my attitudes were, how bad some of my the things I thought about people that were different from me. I didn't know all those things. I just knew that I needed Jesus, and He was the way, the truth, and the life. But then as I grew and I read His Word, I read that He tells me to love my enemies. Well, I don't know about that, but He says to. And so I repent of not loving my enemies, and I seek to love my enemies. He tells me never to return evil for evil. Well, it's pretty easy to return. Man, if you jerk me around, I want to jerk you around, right? But the Bible says, don't do those things. The Bible, and as we read the Bible, we realize more and more things in our life that need to be changed. I was telling Madigan even this morning, I used to think I was a patient human being, and then God gave me children. You know, I realize I'm not that patient as I thought I was. And God had to work on me and make me more of what He needs to be. And so we live a life of continual repentance, asking the Holy Spirit to continually purify us, make us aware of our sins, and make us more and more like Jesus. Purifying by God's Spirit, yes, we are made right. You and I, when God looks at us, He sees us through the blood of Jesus. And we are righteous through Jesus. But in our character, In how we live our lives, we all know that we're not like Jesus, right? And so we want God to make us more and more. So the purifying us by God's Spirit is not a one-time event, but the process. The Holy Spirit continually conforms us to the image of Jesus. So repentance is not just a one-time thing, but a daily attitude. Continually we look at our lives to walk closer with Jesus and be more like Him. We ask the Lord, is there anything in my life that doesn't measure up, Lord Jesus, to who You are? Lord Jesus, make me like You. Repentance and placing faith in Jesus is the beginning of walking with Jesus. It's the beginning of the Christian life, but it needs to be continual and daily. Daily we examine our lives so we'll become like Jesus. You see, if we're walking with Jesus, it doesn't mean that we don't sin. See, that's a misunderstanding. The scripture says, John told people in John's letter, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. It's continually purifying us. The scripture says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, we have to confess as we walk in. You know, when you walk in the light, you see things more clearly, right? You think your house is not dusty, and then all of a sudden, the sun hits your window just right, and you see dust everywhere, right? That's the way it is. When we walk in the light, we see ourselves, and we see the stuff that's there that God needs to change. So we live a life of continual repentance. We're not sinless, but we're continually exposing ourselves to the light of Jesus so that we might better reflect who Jesus is. We then see all in us that does not look like Jesus, and we want it to be gone from our lives. Followers of Jesus want to continually follow him more closely, and so that means all who follow Jesus seek to live a life of continual repentance. D.A. Carson wrote this: repentance presupposes that our lives are off course and we need to turn around. It also points in the direction of the Savior who alone is able to make atonement for our sins. Repentance is where Jesus started his ministry, is where John the Baptist prepared for the starting of Jesus' ministry. It's truly where the Christian life begins. So the question is, has it begun there in your life by you turning from yourself and you being the boss of your life to receiving the forgiveness that comes by believing in Jesus and saying, I want Jesus to be the Lord, the boss of my life? Have you done that? If you've done that, have you identified with Jesus and confessed your faith before him by being baptized? It's not an option. If you haven't done it and you're a believer, you need to be baptized. And then we ask ourselves, are we living lives of continual repentance? Are we asking the Lord to continually examine our lives so that we become more and more and more like Jesus? The call to follow Jesus demands we change our minds about living for ourselves and embrace living for Jesus. I want to ask you today, where are you at? What step do you need to begin to take at the beginning of 2019 to walk closer to Jesus? Is it to receive him in your life and to believe in him? Is it to be baptized? Is it to more closely look at your life from day to day so that you become more and more like him? Maybe it's something else. Ask the Lord what you need to do, what step you need to take, and take that step today. Damon and Kathy are going to be at the back as we sing a song in a minute. And if you need to pray with someone about becoming a believer, about being baptized, about how to more closely walk with Jesus, or you just need to pray with something about something in your life, they are there to help you to do that. They'll be at the bottom of the steps, and they'll be in the library for just a few minutes after the worship. Father, we love you. We seek your face. We pray, Lord, that if there's any here that thinks that living apart from you is good, I pray that they would see that it's not. Lord, that putting off living for Jesus is the worst thing that they could do. And I pray that today they turn from living independently and turn from living their way and believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved and begin to follow him. I pray that if there are people here that need to be baptized, that they wouldn't put it off any longer, Lord. They would begin the process of being baptized. And I pray that as believers, we would not have any self-righteousness in us, You would rip that out of our lives, and we would live lives before you of continual repentance, wanting to be more and more and more like Jesus. Would you do these things to the glory of your name? In Jesus' name, amen.